1, Mark chapter 11, the Bible says this, and when they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples. And he saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. Verse 3 says, if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him. Well, right there's a message, isn't it? That the Lord hath need of him. And straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way, verse 4, and found the colt tied by the door without in a place where two ways met, and they loose him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, what do ye, loosing the colt? They said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he had looked around upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went unto Bethany with the 12. Now after this, we know that our Savior looks around and sees that they're buying and selling in the temple. There's more, a whole lot more that's going on here. But I want us to stop and look at verses 1 through 11. And here's the question that I want to pose to you tonight, church, that I want you to think with me on. You'll notice here in verses 9 and 10, where the Bible says, they cried saying, Hosanna. Have y'all heard that word Hosanna before? They cried saying, Hosanna. And blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And then it goes down verse 10. It says, Hosanna in the highest. And if you have a reference Bible, you probably have all kinds of cross references there that you could go and look up and see where this is a fulfillment of Bible prophecy. And this is what's called the triumphal entry of our Savior, or Palm Sunday. This is the beginning of what's called in the liturgy the week of death. And it is coming up here in just a few short days. Our Savior is going to do what we know has changed all of mankind. And this, to me, though, I've always found very interesting. You don't hear as many sermons on this. And we always kind of go past this. And if you'll allow me tonight, I just want to ask you this question. And here's the question for the sermon in case you get ready to fall asleep. And that is this. Which Hosanna do you want? Which Hosanna do you want? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you tonight. I thank you for this good crowd that's here. We had such a good crowd this morning, and we've tried everything to bring honor to your name from the beautiful singing this morning, and we've read scripture, we've had classes, we've prayed here tonight. We just ask you to intervene. God, we need you. Now I pray, dear God, that your name would be uplifted and glorified. I pray, dear Lord, that you'd speak and move as only you can. And Lord, I thank you for these folks that are so faithful. I thank you for visitors we've had this morning and tonight. Lord, we pray again for these families that are brokenhearted. Lord, I pray for those who are out of church. We're so burdened for them. But those who have gathered here tonight, I pray you'd encourage them, you'd help them. And God, you'd do something that only you can do through the preaching of your word. Lord, we'll give you the praise and the honor tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You've probably watched maybe a movie or a scene on television. Now, I want you to pay attention tonight. I want you to put your phones down for a moment, unless your Bible's on your phone, and then be careful because that's pretty distracting. I want you to pay attention just for a moment. I won't keep you long, I promise you. But I want you to think with me about this entry. Jesus, our Savior, is getting ready to go through what really means the world to us as Christians. The story of Easter, the resurrection, the gospel really is getting ready to take place. The death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior. And as he's coming into this town, you've probably seen the maybe the movie or a play or a scene, or you've heard this preached before, and You've probably seen the pictures in the Sunday school class of them holding the palms and they strew them on the ground. And Jesus is coming into this city and he is coming in, the triumphal entry. And the crowd, the multitude is crying, Hosanna! Hosanna! And I remember even as a young Christian hearing that, and the first time I ever heard that, I was like, wait a minute. This makes no sense to me when I read my Bible. Because I know that he's going to be crucified. I know the preacher's been preaching since I was a little boy that Jesus Christ died on the cross for all of us and that he was buried and he rose again. I don't know a lot about the Bible, but even as a young person, I thought, wait a minute, this makes no sense. How are they saying Hosanna here and then later on they're going to crucify him, the same crowd? I've always been puzzled by it. I think all of us look at that and say, man, what a story this is. In fact, I want you to write down, just by way of outline, I'm going to give you four things, and then I'm going to give you some thoughts, Lord, give me through this passage. I want you to stay in the Word of God with me. We see, number one, write these words down. We see in this passage, we see a popularity here. In fact, one person said this many years ago, and I've repeated it so often, Jesus was not always popular. He's not popular today, is he? There's never been anybody that changed the world like our Savior. I mean, he is the Savior of the world. Me and Brother Freddie's talking about somebody trying to say they're wanting to make the word fundamental or being a fundamentalist like you're psychotic. You're having a disorder, a psychiatric disorder. And of course, they're talking about Islam because fundamental Islam is going and blowing people up. But here's the problem. If you're a fundamental Christian, in other words, a fundamentalist goes to its founder and lives the way its founder lived. A fundamental Muslim will go and do what Muhammad did. He was a person that treated women horribly and beheaded and killed. A fundamental Christian goes and loves people and prays for them and treats them kind. That's what our Savior did tonight. That's a big difference, isn't it? That's a big difference. And when we think about our Savior, that's who our Savior is tonight. But at this moment right here was the height of his popularity. There was never a time that we see in Scripture where the masses, where the crowd, I was doing some study on this even today, and it's estimated there was about 3,000 people right here just in this one scene. It's an amazing scene that's taking place here because of the backdrop that's going. It was short-lived, but it was the height of his popularity. Here is if you were going to sell some WWJD bracelets, you'd want to go right here. If you're going to sell a t-shirt that said, I love Jesus, this is the crowd you wanted to get to. Right here was when the newscasters would have been there. It'd have been on the news in the Jerusalem CNN or whatever it was. I mean, it would have been the thing. I mean, the stars would have been there. I mean, he was popular. Very popular at this moment. And then we see also this parade. It's a parade, isn't it? We see the story, and the Lord tells him to go and get this this colt, this little donkey, to ride in to the city. Now, sometimes we look at that, and maybe some of you don't know this, but this colt was a symbol. This parade meant something. Jesus is preaching a sermon to the world right here. He is coming in on this colt. Not a horse, not a steed, not a stallion. He was not in full regalia. He comes in, the Bible tells us here, on this colt. Now the colt was this. When a colt came into a city, the king would ride on that little colt and showing that he was the king and that he was coming into the city in peace. He was saying, I come in peace. Now, that's why the average man was like, oh, praise the Lord. All right, Hosanna, glory to the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna. Now, remember now, Hosanna means this. Save us. Save us, King. They were saying, glory to the highest. Save us. Our Savior is here. That's what they were screaming. Save us. He comes in as the king. And they're finally saying, this is the one. This is the one that's been talked about. Here he is. Look out, Romans. We have got the Savior here. He is going to save us from Roman rule. That's the picture that we see. We see this colt, which is a symbol of peace. Now, I'm going to read here at the end of this message, a passage in Revelation 19, because the horse, if the king came in on a horse, everybody knew it was time for war. You could just see that horse, and that horse would go into battle. You didn't ride a little baby donkey into battle. You wanted to ride the big stallion with all the regalia on, with all the armor on it. I mean, it was like, we're getting ready to go fight. It's time to fight. The king's going to fight. Now, I'm going to read a verse to you here that's going to show you he came riding in on a colt. But listen, the next time he comes riding in, he ain't riding in on a colt. He's still King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but he ain't riding in on a colt. So we see this popularity. We see this parade. And my, what a parade it must have been. Can you imagine seeing Jesus? I remember when I was a kid, I grew up in Princeton. I always had to print the Christmas parade. And I remember I would go to that parade only for one reason only. They threw out candy. I'd find that ride and threw the most candy out. And I was one of them poor Princeton kids that followed it all the way through. They'd say, get away, kid. I mean, if it was butterscotch candy, I had my pockets full. Amen. And I think of a parade, and it's always a joyous occasion. Don't you imagine, man, the kids are like, man, he's our hero. But boy, it changed, didn't it? In fact, I want you to write this down. We also see in this passage these people. Wouldn't you like to be with Fox News or CNN and have you a microphone and go over and say, well, sir, would you like to have a time machine, H.G. Wells time machine? Some of y'all can read literature and figure out who that is. But anyway, you go back in time and you want to go over to one of them and say, hey, I'd just like to talk to you. What's your feelings about what's going on here today? I'd like to know, wouldn't you? They had palm trees. Bible says they put down their cloaks. They took their jackets off, their clothing off, and they just like Sir Walter Raleigh taught to do when your girl walks across a mud puddle, you put your jacket down so she won't get her wonderful, back when men treated women like queens. Come on, ladies. That's a good reason to get my jacket off, too. But wouldn't you like to go? Because the Bible says they put their cloaks and they took these palms. In fact, when you think within Sunday, now we don't believe as Baptists, we don't practice what's called Ash Wednesday, but the Catholics do. And what that is they burn the palms and the priest takes that cross. You probably see it. You'll see it Wednesday. This week, there'll be Catholics on television. You'll see them. You'll see somebody. Now, some Baptists are starting to do this because they want everybody to know they're Christians too. Oh, I love the Lord too. We don't really practice that because we believe in a risen Savior. We believe in a Savior that's coming again. We still worship Him. He's not on. We don't worship a crucifix. We don't worship a wafer. Hey, we worship a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, no matter what men may say. We see these people though. I wrote this down. I wonder how many of them were sincere. Oh, we don't know. We're not told. He said, brother, that's really not fair. But I'd like to go by and say, are you out here? Are you out here just saying, man, this is great? And you have no idea why? In fact, I'm afraid. Can I say this as a pastor tonight? I'm afraid folks come to church and they get maybe caught up in the parade of church and especially parts of our country. And I've talked with different preachers about this. Some folks go to church because that's just what they're supposed to do. They go out of habit. They go for a lot of different reasons. And I want to just go by and say, why are you here? Why do you even come? Do you even know the Lord? Is it just something you think is cool? People say, well, man, I'm going to get back in church. I'm going to get my life right. I'm going to tell you something, friend. You better come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Because even though, church, and this brings me to my last point here as far as an outline, then we'll give you some thoughts. We see a problem. Because they're saying here, Hosanna to the highest, and save us, save us. But then there's a problem, isn't there? This same crowd. Of course, they got mad because if you read the synoptic gospels, and you'll find out that what Jesus does after this, he finds out that they have made his house a den of thieves. And he busts up the money changers' table. He hit them where nobody likes to be hit. In the old-fashioned pocketbook. And boy, man, you talk about separating people. You start talking about money and people, they're gone. I'm not here to preach on money tonight, but what happened was is they had made God's house a house of merchandise. He said, I said you're supposed to be a house of prayer. Amen. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about tonight? And after that, they said, whoa, wait a minute. In fact, I believe the very time, as soon as the Sanhedrin, As soon as those Pharisees saw him on that colt, I could just see some of the kids say, oh man, this is cool, this is the king. And they're going, Hosanna. But boy, not them Pharisees and them Sadducees and Sanhedrin, they were looking. They said, man, who is he think he is? How dare he come in to Jerusalem saying that he is the king? And of course, some of them, they liked Roman rule. They wanted Rome to be over them. They were going to lose their titles. They were going to lose their prestige. And Jesus was a political problem for them, because they didn't say Hosanna for the same reason. When you and I here as a church tonight, when we say the word Hosanna, like when we sang this morning and I heard these songs, I mean, I was just praising the Lord. When the line of the song that Brother Austin Danielle sang very early that third morning, man, I tell you, I get fired. I start hearing, I said, praise God. I said, Hosanna, Hosanna. We mean it good. We mean save us. But you know, I've learned something. Not everybody that says praise the Lord means it the same way. We live in a culture where you watch a movie and they'll be running from the bad guy. What do they scream out? Oh, God. They'll have a war scene. The guy's in a foxhole. He'll start praying, God, if you get me out. And we almost, even in our churches, if I can say it this way, we almost treat God as if he is a spare tire. You know, I'm talking about the little round spare tire. I want to get you about 50 miles. And God, I'm going through a hard time. And Lord, I'm going to say, save us. But I want to go to them and say, you don't really mean what you're saying. At church, I think I'm talking to the Sunday night crowd. I think I'm talking to the crowd that views it the first way. I think when you say Hosanna, you mean it. But I think it's a fair question to ask to our loved ones, to our neighbors, to our friends, maybe to somebody here tonight. Which Hosanna do you want? I mean, do we want the Lord? Do we just kind of like the picture? It's a beautiful little Sunday school picture. You know, I remember as a kid, you know, my grandma was my Sunday school teacher. And I remember, oh, they put the palm. I said, man, they're treating him like a king. He needs to be treated like a king. And they put their coats down and their outfits down. Oh, man, let's treat him like royalty. By the way, he is royalty. But were they treating him like royalty because they really believed that he really is who he said he was? Or was they doing it just because, hey, if we do this, he's going to fix our problems? Now, the byproduct of having the Lord in your life is he can fix your problems. But please know this tonight. We don't get saved and we don't serve God just because he's a problem fixer. We are wretched and undone. We are law breakers. We are wicked and in need of a Savior. And so when we say Hosanna tonight, we don't need to say, Lord, save us. Because if you save us, I'll make more money. If you save us, I can get my family right. God, if you'll come in, I can get this right. And Lord, I need to get my life right so everything will go good in my life. And we almost treat God as if we're going to Las Vegas and, well, if I can just hit the jackpot, well, if I can just get some money coming in. And we almost treat God, if I can say it this way, like he's a pill. Let's just take another pill. Can I say to you tonight, our Savior's worth way more than that. And he declares himself this way. And we see this because this same crew that said, Hosanna, Hosanna, also said, away with him, crucify him. I'm going to give you some thoughts here. Some of these are questions. Most of them are. I think it's a real simple question we need to ask ourselves. Do we want Christ or what he can do for us? I wish I could say that all the way through my life that I just worship the Lord because of just who he is. But there's been times where I'm like, God, I just need you to do something for me. I wish that sometimes I would treat my family like I'm supposed to. But sometimes, hey, I need. It's almost like we just want and want and want. We're takers. We never give. When's the last time we come to church? And we just said, I want to say Hosanna. I'm not going to ask God for something. I'm not going to seek God for something. I'm just going to praise him. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that God won't meet your needs. I'm not saying we shouldn't pray. The Bible says to ask and to seek and to knock. That's a different message. But I do think this, though. We must get back to worshiping God, not for just what he can do, but for who he is. You've got to get back to that. Because you're never going to get to what he can do for you if you don't realize who he is. Who he is. Can you imagine going back in history? I love history. I watched some of these movies. I love to go back and talk to to some of these men. I was watching a movie clip of the other day, and it showed Abraham Lincoln with some young men. And he was counseling them, and he put his hand on this young man's shoulder and then walked on by. And I thought to my, and young men just turned and looked at each other like, can you believe he just talked to us? I'd love to go back and talk to some of those men throughout history. Not ask them for anything, just to hear what they'd say. Want to be in their presence. Can you imagine being with George Washington at a camp and just being able to sit there with him and just hear his wisdom, hear his, just being around him. I would ask him for, I would say, here, Mr. Washington, sign my autograph. You give me a sign? I wouldn't do that. Should we not be the same way about our Savior? To just sit at his feet and say, Lord, just want to hear you. By the way, we have it in the Word of God. Secondly, is this. Are you ready? Are we ready as a church? Now, I know on Sunday night, are we ready to serve the King? That's what they were doing. They were taking their coats off. And by the way, this thing costs a little bit of money. I like to try to take care of it, but when you put it down for a donkey to tromp on, you're just basically giving it up, aren't you? Amen. When you just throw that thing down, I'm pretty hard on my clothes, but I wouldn't want a donkey stepping on it. Tonight, we got to ask ourselves the question, are we ready to serve the King? They were doing it as an act of worship. I mean, it was an honor to say, man, I put that down so that King could come in. Can I say this to you tonight as a pastor, as a preacher, and as a Christian? I think many of you agree. Sometimes let me tell you something, when you don't pay attention on Sunday night service, you're not going against the preacher. You're going against the King. When you don't come to church, you're not, people say, tell you, I'm tired of that. I don't like this. Be careful. Because I think sometimes, you know, like, man, I'm tired. I don't want to do all that. And I think, well, wait a minute now. I'm serving the King. When Sister Debbie talked to me, and it kind of helped me because I thought, you know what? We're serving the King. It's time for me to wake up too. Sometimes you forget who you're serving. But I'm serving the King. I mean, when I represent this church as your preacher, people say, Brother, why do you dress the way you do? I've had young people say, Brother, I've never seen you anything but a suit and a tie. Let me tell you something. I don't do that because I enjoy it. Promise you that. Why do we do that? Because I represent you. And more importantly, I represent the Lord. You see, all of a sudden, you say, well, I want to do what I want to do. Whoa, 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 whoa. You've been bought with a price. You're not your own. You've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I don't belong to me. I don't do what I want to do. I don't say what I want to say. I don't go where I want to go. I serve the King. In fact, when you're in the military, Brother Freddie, you know this, some of you military men, if you are serving, representing a United States Army or Marines or Air Force, you can't just go where you want to go. You know what that's called? AWOL. Would it be fair to say tonight when the churches across America are half empty and Islam is encroaching in every Western hemisphere that our Christians are AWOL? We want to look and say, man, where are y'all at? They're coming in by the millions and we're sitting back. We can't even come to church. Why do we think we're going to stand when it gets tough, when we can't stand when it's easy? We've got to ask ourselves, are we ready to serve the King? Are we ready to worship the King? And I think sometimes I have to confess, even as a preacher, I'm not always looked at it rightly. I'm like everybody else. I went through the motions. I've just tried to get from day one to day two. I think we've all done it. I think our marriages, our homes, our raising of our children, our worship of God, our service, we forget that we're in the service of the King. We've got to remember that we're in the service of the King. We've got to remember who we are. We serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Then let me say number three real quickly. Is he the true King of our lives? The Bible says, and Christ, who is our life. You know, I hear this all the time. I hear people that are unsaved or out of church. Sometimes it's family members even. And they'll say, man, all y'all talk about church and everything and the Lord and everything. That's all. And you can tell it just gets on their nerves. They can't stand it. You start talking about the Lord. By the way, if you've got social media and you never talk about God, if you go to work and you never talk about God, if you have buddies and friends and you never bring up the Lord, if I can't tell other than just you talking to me in private that you know the Lord, what's wrong with that? What is wrong with that scene? Let me tell you something. When Christ, who is our life, Most of you, we now have a grandbaby. We've got, trust me, we've got pictures of it. If you're with us more than 10 minutes, they're coming out. Let me back that up, 10 seconds. In fact, we're coming, holding them up as you see us. Some are trying to avoid us because here they come again. Don't follow us on social media because that's all you're going to get. Should we not be that way about our Lord? The Bible says, in Christ who is our life. I'm around people like, man, they never bring up the Lord. They never talk about God. It ought to be our necessary food. I can't help it. I just cannot help it. You ought to be that way. In fact, I love it. And people that love the Lord, it just comes out of them. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth what? Whatever's in a person's heart, it just comes out. Don't misunderstand me. I know you got work, and I know you have hobbies. I understand all those things. God's not trying to be cruel or mean, but my goodness, when He is your King, when He is your Lord, is He the King, true King of our life? Who is sitting tonight, church? Listen to me. Listen now, look up. Who is sitting on the throne of your life? Who's there? And see, when folks look and they say, man, I can't believe that. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, I can't believe you're not. I don't understand how a person can just miss church and miss and not read their Bible. When you're saved and you love the Lord, man, this is just, it's just secondary. You don't even think about it. It just comes natural to you. You see, there was some here in this crowd saying, Hosanna. And they were absolutely, I believe they were worshiping Him. And there was some here in this crowd that were not. I don't know who is and who's not. But I know this, God knows. Let me go quickly, real quick. They quickly changed their tune. But here's the question tonight, is why? And then another question is this, have you? Now, I think I'm talking Sunday night crowd. There'll be something to hear this. You know, we've had, by the way, we've had over 14,000 views on our sermon audio page. That's more than it's in our whole county. But I started thinking about the people over the years. They say now Islam is easier to win Baptists than anybody. That's why we're thinking about doing this question and answer time. That is sad. Why is it? Why is it that we quickly change? Well, y'all have seen it and I've seen it. We see it on our van routes. We'll pick up some young person and they'll get about 14 or 15 years old and their parents don't bring them. And I mean, you know, I know we're probably glorified babysitter and that's all right. But as soon as they get old enough, they're gone. About 5 years later, they'll call me, hey, Brother Dallas, my life's in a mess. Man, I need to get back to church. Y'all help me out? And what we always do, we try to help all we can. But I want to look and say, what changed? Remember when you was a little kid and you'd sit on the front pew and you'd say, hallelujah, amen. That little girl sing. Don't y'all, I hope Jackie never loses that. Isn't that precious? You know what that is? That's a little girl that says, hey, I might not have much in this old world, but I know who does. Precious to it. If they get that from this church, what a privilege that is for us. What an honor to represent the King. But you got to ask yourself, who changed? Why did they change? Y'all know people. I know people. We've all know folks that used to be in church. They used to go to Christian school. They went to the Bible. And then all of a sudden, it's complete polar opposite. Could it be tonight is because when they were saying Hosanna, they weren't really saying Hosanna. They were waving the palms, but not really. Let me ask you this. Would you lay down your palm or your cloak for Him? Would you do that for Christ? Can you imagine what a privilege that was? Can you imagine being able to go home that day and say, man, I didn't have much, but I laid it down for Him. I'm sure that those coats were not the fan. You know the big shot people wasn't there. You know the most popular guy in town probably wasn't there. And you know the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Sanhedrin wasn't there. They hated Him. And so who was there? Little boys that have lunches. God likes little boys with lunches, by the way. Y'all remember that, don't you? Women with just 2 pennies. People with the issue of blood. The crippled and the poor and the halt and the blind. People whose kids are a mess. People whose life's upside down. People who's struggling through life. That's who God loves. Amen. Aren't you glad He loves us? Sinners in need of a Savior. By the way, don't think you're any better than anybody else. Well, I've never had any of that in my life. Well, let me tell you something, honey. You're just as lost as the rest of us. There's only one way to be right, and that's through and by the blood of Jesus Christ. But would we lay down our cloak or our palm, whatever it is in our life for him? Here's what I find a lot of folks do. We kind of want Jesus in our house, but we kind of want to keep him in the closet. I remember when I was in Bible college, they used that illustration about being filled with the Spirit. As moments you get saved, you got the Spirit indwelling in you, but he's kind of just in one room of your house, but you really don't want him in all of your house. Lord, we don't mind you being in the living room, but don't come back in the bedroom. Or Lord, we don't mind you being in the bedroom, but you know, just stay out of the other rooms of the house. That's your place. You stay right there. We'll go on Sunday, and we love you, and we'll tithe a little bit and everything, but man, don't you overtake our lives. Don't get out in the garage, and don't get out in the yard. Don't get on our property. God, we want to keep you in one little place. We don't want to be filled. When the truth of the matter is when he feels it, friend, there's nothing like it. It's nothing like it. Would you lay down your palm, your cloak? What is it that's holding you back? I want you to take your Bible. I told you I was going to get here to the end. Turn with me to Revelation. This morning we kind of ended with a bang, so to speak. Revelation chapter 19. Will you turn there with me? Because it makes this passage very powerful. This Bible's like a chain link fence, isn't it? When he returns, friend, he's not going to be riding on a donkey. Look at Revelation chapter 19. Just in case you forgot, I know you didn't, but just in case, and just a reminder in case you haven't heard anything like this, the Bible says, "And I saw heaven opened." Oh, my. "And behold," y'all excuse me, I love this. I love the Bible. I love the old Bible, the precious old Bible. How many of y'all love the Bible tonight? It says, "And behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword," verse 15, "that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." And if you're like me, my Bible had that in all caps. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There's nobody like him. When he comes in this triumphal entry, as we think about Easter, this isn't some quiet, silent thing. This is shouting to the world, "Hey, the King is here. The King is here." And the question that comes to us tonight at Little Old Cook's Chapel here in the hills of West Virginia is, are we ready? Are we ready? I believe at any moment, we see what's going on in the world. I was reading a headline today. I didn't read all the article about the Antichrist coming out of Syria. People say, "Oh man, Antichrist will come." Hey, we don't know. I'm very limited on that because I hear all kinds of different theories. But I do know this. I believe at any moment he could split the eastern sky. When I stood up on that hillside on Bent Mountain Road yesterday and I talked about the rapture, hey, good neighbor, I believe it could happen at any moment. He could come at any time. And even so, come Lord Jesus. We got to get back in our heart ready for him to come. Which Hosanna do you want? Lord, save us. Lord, save us. Lord, I want you. But why do we want him? Why do we want the Lord tonight? Is he just to help us? Or is he really our life? Is he really the Holy One? Is he the King of Kings? He is. But in your life, is he the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Please understand tonight that when he's not, we think about eternity. I was reading a sermon, listened to a sermon actually today. You know, in eternity, the Lord don't wait a million years and say, "Okay, I'm done." We think that way. We think, "Oh, 50 years is plenty of time." We think because we're limited in time. God's not limited in time, space, or matter. God's eternal. I want us to understand tonight, I don't think it, in fact, I'll be honest with you, with my finite mind and my limited intelligence and my ability to speak, It's not putting how wonderful and powerful what's going on just on this one scene of Easter. If you go away from here tonight, I want you to at least have in your heart, Hosanna. Hosanna. And make sure it's the right one. Lord, save us, not because of what I want, but because of who you are. Let's all stand with every head bowed and eye closed. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd speak to our hearts tonight. I thank you.